Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, March 14th. Aides, interns, and staffers at the state capitol have been advised against talking to the media about workplace issues, including sexual harassment and trainings aimed at preventing it. This comes as one Democratic lawmaker was expelled over sexual harassment allegations, and three Republican senators have been investigated. Two warnings were sent by email, and as Benta Berkland reports, it has caused concern at a time when people are speaking out about the culture under the Golden Dome.
The first email is dated February 2nd. It came from the nonpartisan administrative head of the Senate. It's also the same day she found out we wanted to ask aides and interns if they would comment about the workplace harassment training they were all participating in. Citing a page in the handbook, the email said they couldn't.
The clear intent on circulating the policy in the wake of members of the press contacting them for comment about the ongoing trainings about workplace harassment was to chill the speech of the employees of the Senate in an improper way.
Steve Zansberg is a First Amendment attorney in Denver. He represents the press and has advised us on our previous sexual harassment stories. According to Senate policy, only the media staff and those designated by the president or minority leader can grant interviews to the press to speak on behalf of the Senate. Zansberg says he reads it as a narrow focus on speaking officially.
It's not intended to interfere with the rights of public employees to speak to the press or others about the conditions of their employment or any other matter.
The Senate secretary declined to comment on the email, but a former Senate secretary did. Cindy Markwell worked with four Senate presidents in both parties. She says the policy shouldn't be used as an outright ban on talking to the media.
I really believed that it had to do with talking about bills or confidentiality of the process of bills or what was going on with the intent of a bill.
The second email was sent to about 20 staffers on March 5th. The Senate Secretary Effie Amin warned against doing interviews related to ongoing complaints. It followed a formal complaint from a male staffer alleging that Senator Randy Baumgartner created a hostile workplace by giving a female staffer unwanted attention. The male staffer, who wishes to remain anonymous, alleges Amin told him to stop talking to the press and said Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham was not happy.
As staff members, they should understand that confidentiality is important, and blowing something up via the media is not what I would expect from a senator or from the staff.
That's Grantham. Under the General Assembly's workplace harassment policy, formal complaints and investigations are kept confidential. But an accuser can make the information public if they want to. But Grantham says that should only be as a last resort.
They should go through the proper process. And I think at that point, if nothing is done, then perhaps the press would be the viable avenue.
Grantham also says he's okay with aides and interns being interviewed about the sexual harassment trainings. Others in the building hope the emails don't send the wrong message or actually prevent workers from speaking out. Republican Representative Justin Everett of Littleton says it's a First Amendment right.
A blanket rule saying that you can't go talk to the media, I mean, that's basically un-American. It's not what we do in this country.
And Democratic Senator Steve Fenberg of Boulder says he wants the state capitol to be an environment where people feel safe and respected and able to come forward, including to the media.
I would hope that no policies or directives are happening as a way to chill people's rights or make them less comfortable speaking out about their experiences. I think that should be encouraged, and frankly, is the only way we're going to change culture is if people are honest and open.
The House also has a policy on the books, restricting aides, interns, and staff from speaking to the media. But workers say it hasn't been brought up in the recent trainings or discussions or circulated to them. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Colorado lawmakers are being called on, for the fourth time, to give people experiencing homelessness the right to rest. Eric Galatis has the story.
Colorado House Local Government Committee is set to decide the fate of the Right to Rest Act today. House Bill 1067 would roll back local laws that make it illegal to sit or sleep in public spaces. Therese Howard with the group Denver Homeless Out Loud says all people, regardless of their economic or social status, have the right to exist in public places without fear.
This bill would stop the inhumane, ineffective, and unconstitutional practices of ticketing, harassing, and arresting people who are sleeping, sitting down, basic acts of survival.
Colorado communities have passed more than 350 ordinances that make it illegal for people to ask for charity, sleep, or rest on a public bench, or even in their own parked car. Similar bills have died in the past three legislative sessions. Opponents claim the policies are necessary to move people off the streets and into shelters. Howard says when police force people to move, they actually end up going farther away from shelters, and that makes it harder for outreach workers to find them. She says the solution to ending homelessness is to invest more tax dollars in affordable housing, not spending money incarcerating people for sitting or sleeping.
The theory that these ordinances help connect people to services is completely unfounded, and in fact, it's the exact opposite. It makes it harder for folks to get into housing, get into services, and get their lives together.
Howard adds that many Coloradans are only a divorce or job loss away from experiencing homelessness. According to the Economic Policy Institute, a single adult in Denver needs to earn more than $41,000 a year, or nearly double the current minimum wage, just to meet basic needs such as housing. A single parent with one child has to earn $72,000 to get by in Pueblo and $59,000 in Grand Junction. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Governor John Hickenlooper addressed the ongoing rumor that he's seriously considering a run for president. During a media briefing in his office yesterday, he said he has discussed the topic with his wife and son. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
There are growing rumblings that Hickenlooper might seek the country's highest office. It's been the chatter in Colorado politics for months. Hickenlooper left the door open on Tuesday, but says talking about it publicly would be distracting.
There's not enough time to sit and worry about what's next. I have every confidence, as I always have, that if you work hard at what you're doing at this moment, then you will have choices down the road.
The governor has been working on a bipartisan health care proposal with Ohio Governor John Kasich, a Republican. The national media has speculated the two might run together on some type of unity ticket. In the past, Hickenlooper's tamped down that speculation. But previously, he has said he wasn't interested in being a vice presidential candidate and then turned up on Hillary Clinton's shortlist. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.